Welcome to Smart Animal Talk Radio. This is Denise Fleck, the Pet Safety Crusader, and I'm filling in for Deborah Wolf today. So I hope we'll have an awesome possum time together, and we're going to chat animals with several people. We're going to be hearing from Kit with the Florida Yorkie Rescue and also who has a radio show up her sleeve. But first, my guest is Donna Ciccone. Donna is an author and a super pet parent. She spent the first half of her career as an addiction counselor and the second half in the corporate business world, where she developed her speaking and training skills. But yes, hang on, we're going to get to the animal stuff. She also has spent time as a nurse and with a national airline as a flight attendant. But since leaving that corporate business world, Donna has created, she has written, she has produced, and even hosted her own TV show for 4 years. She's currently in a redesign of it and preparing to take it to the internet as the Jazz and Jive show. And you might ask who Jazz and Jive are? Well, let's bring Donna on and find out more about Donna and who Jazz and Jive are. Welcome.
Thank you, Denise. It's great to be with you.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. So since I let the cat out of the bag, or I should say the dog, tell us about Jazz and Jive.
Oh, I'd love to. Jazz and Jive are Portuguese water dogs. They're the same breed President Obama has, only we had ours first. And they're a lovely breed. They are a working breed, so they're very active. They have a lot of energy. You have to direct that energy in a positive way and give them jobs and keep them busy, or they will find their own mischief to get into. And any pet parent who has a dog with a lot of energy will tell you that is what happens. They are very near and dear to me, as dogs who live with pet parents usually are. But they have taken me on a journey with them where we eventually, he had a TV show about dogs, and Jazz actually co-hosted the TV show with me. And that show really was a result of my exposure to the dog world with Jazz. When he came into my life first, Jive came in 4 years later, and the whole professional world was so passionate about wanting to make the world a better place for dogs. Every veterinarian I spoke with, every breeder, every trainer, and other pet parents as well wanted to do whatever they could to do things as well as possible for the dog, but also just let other people know what they could do to be more effective with their dogs. And I thought it almost felt like a movement to me, Denise, and I thought I really wanted to be a part of that. And I wasn't a trainer, and I wasn't a vet. I didn't have any real strong credentials in the dog world, but I had done TV and corporate in America. That's where I bit my teeth on TV, was actually in corporate America. And one thing led to another, and pretty soon I had this TV show about dogs. And we aired 48 episodes and had fabulous, fabulous experts on the show. I learned so much from breeders and trainers and people in rescue groups and the different canine sports that dogs can participate in. Such wonderful people, and they all had such passion about what they did with dogs, whatever the focus was. And they brought that to the show, and we shared that with our viewers, and it was just a wonderful 4 years. And then I was encouraged by actually some professionals in the field to consider writing a book. And I thought, they thought that would help me with even more credibility and get more attention for the show, because I was looking for a sponsorship. And so I sat down to write the book, and it just flowed. All the information was there, the whole concept. And what I based the book on was I had a Portuguese water dog. My very first Portuguese water dog before Jazz, before Jive, was a dog named Breezer, and he's since left us and crossed the Rainbow Bridge. But when I had Breezer as my first dog, boy, I did so many things that I wish I could do differently now. Not that I was a terrible pet parent, but I was an average first-time pet parent.
We don't get that training with pets. Even human adults, that's what we all are, I guess. But, with human kids, we do, there are more books out there, and there's just somehow more learning. And the fact that we're humans, I guess we kind of have more of an innate understanding of what children need. But dogs are so amazing, but they are a different species, and we need to learn to speak dog, so to speak.
You're absolutely right. There's so many similarities between young children and dogs, but they are my thing I really always emphasize is they are two different species with different needs. And we can't really treat or parent a dog like we would a child or a child like we would a dog. We have to really focus on that different species. But with Breezer, I think I made a lot of the common first mistakes. I loved him. I fed him. I took him to the vet. But I didn't engage him like I do Jazz and Jive. When I engaged Breezer, it was mostly when I had time, and I really didn't think about him in the from a perspective of what does Breezer need? What would Breezer really need to help develop his giving him a purpose in life? You know, what would really make him grow and develop his skills that he has as a working dog? And I just, you know, he had a good life. He wasn't abused by any means, but he didn't have the quality of life that Jazz and Jive have. And that's because I learned from my experience. And so when I sat down to write that book, I thought, well, maybe I can share that. This book wasn't available when I got Breezer. It's everything you need to know to really effectively parent a dog. And it's all in one book. And the people who are reading my book, the reviews I'm getting really affirm that. So I feel very good about that. And I'm also finding that other people who have had dogs for a very long time have even benefited from reading the book. So that also makes me feel good. And I don't know that I mentioned to you, Denise, but our book actually won the 10th annual Indie Excellence Award. Yeah, so wonderful to have that kind of credibility in the literary world with my first book. So, yeah.
Positively. Well, it's, you know, just such important stuff because we do consider pets part of the family. Most of us now do. And, you know, there are so many dogs and cats out there, you know, sharing our lives with each other. And one of the things I do, I shared with you briefly, is I teach pet first aid and CPR classes, but I also teach a high school animal care class. And something I always go over with the kids is zoonotic diseases, diseases that can pass between species, meaning things we can get from our pets. Well, just in the last couple of years, Webster or whomever's out there coining words these days took the inverse of zoonotic, the inverse of diseases we can get from our pets, but the health benefits we get from our pets, and they call it zoea. And people like
wow.
you and me, yeah, and people like you and me, Donna, didn't need the experts to tell us this, but we already know that pets, you know, can lower our blood pressure. When people bond with animals, there's now scientific proof that they become more empathetic human beings. When kids grow up with animals, it often builds up their immune systems. And then there's all this stuff about, you know, getting our butts up off the couch to walk the dog. It makes us exercise. You know, it makes some people kick the habit and stop smoking because they have found out that secondhand smoke is equally bad for our dogs and cats. So for
absolutely.
All of the things, yeah, for all of the things our pets do for us, we absolutely need to become a super pet parent. So give us your website quickly. Go ahead.
It's jazzandjive.com. And Jazz and Jive are named after the music venue, the jazz venue of music. So it's J-A-Z-Z, word A-N-D, J-I-V-E.com.
Awesome. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to be back with Donna to hear more about being a super pet parent.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that.
Back on Smart Animal Talk Radio, and this is Denise Fleck hosting today for Deborah Wolf, and I am lucky enough to be talking with Donna Ciccone, an author and a super pet parent, and we're chatting a bit about her dogs, Jazz and Jive, who are Portuguese water dogs, as well as her new book, Being a Super Pet Parent, Everything You Need to Know to Foster a Long, Loving Relationship with Your Dog. Now, Donna, we were talking, and, you know, we all learn from the experience, and I sometimes myself kick myself thinking, gosh, why didn't I do that for a previous fur child I had? But, you know, I didn't know, and each of them teach us something new. What Can you pick something that Jazz and Jive are teaching you now that you're sharing with other pet parents, or that you'll be able to use to help, one of your previous incarnations of pets somewhere down the road?
Well, there's two things that I think are the most jewel gifts I can give other pet parents. And one is that each dog has such a unique personality. And I truly didn't appreciate that until Jive came into our family 4 years after Jazz was here. And I thought I knew as much as there was to know about Jazz. But when Jive came in, because she does things so differently and has her own unique personality, I saw highlights of Jazz's personality I hadn't seen before, and I truly got to know Jive very quickly because of the contrast in a lot of their behaviors. A lot of what they do is similar, too, but they do therapy work differently. We are involved in the sport of canine nose work. They each search differently in that sport. All dogs have their own unique personality. No two are really alike, just like humans. You know, and you can see a group of dogs and you can generalize dog behavior, but when you really spend time with one of those dogs, you will learn how different they are from all the other dogs. And the other thing that
I so love that you say that, because it's important, especially when we're adopting or, you know, bringing a new animal into our life, to do our research and to learn out some of the basic characteristics based on breed. But, you know, it has to stop at some point, and you have to really tune into that unique individual, because they are all special. And so often when somebody has a pet that crosses the rainbow bridge, they want to find another one just like it. And there is no other.
That's a great point.
You know, there is no other one just like it. They all leave their own unique set of paw prints on our hearts. And it's important for us to let each dog or cat or whatever animal it is, as well as our fellow humans, you know, shine in being the individual that they are. So I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Oh, you said it so well. You said it so well. And I hadn't thought about that. People wanting to replace their dog with an identical dog. And that does happen. That's a very good point, Denise. And it's so important to grieve the loss of that dog so you can move on and embrace and invite another one into your life should you make that decision to do so. But the other thing that I was going to mention that I like to think is the gift I can give pet parents is we think about our dogs so often. I hear people say, my dog is a family member. But at a conscious level, sometimes we think of ourselves as dog owners, and many times are referred to it as dog owners. You own your dog. We buy our dogs oftentimes. We always pay money for a dog. The law in our country defines dogs as property. In divorce settlements, they get divided up with the sofa and the furniture and the things. They're a material object defined by the law. When I wrote my book on Microsoft Word, every time I would refer to dogs as a he or a she or they or them or who, Microsoft Word would correct me, because grammar etiquette in our world defines dogs and all animals as it and that. So keeping dogs as an object at some level of our consciousness based on some of those cultural influences can put us in more of a mindset of owning a dog. And so what I say about that is that if things often get to a point where people bring a dog into their family, but they don't spend the time training the dog, helping the dog learn how to live comfortably in this human world, and training is critical. We send our children to school so that they can learn social and intellectual skills that will help them cope effectively in this world. We really need to provide that same opportunity for our dogs if we truly want to consider them as a member of our family. And when that doesn't happen, if we're thinking of them more as an object and they appear to be out of control in their behavior because we haven't spent time training them, so often we see those dogs get surrendered to animal shelters.
Yeah, that's what the bulk of the animals at shelters are. It isn't that they're broken, it's the humans didn't take time to train them and teach them manners.
Exactly. So important. Dogs just want to please us. They want to please us. They want to make us happy. They want to do what they think we want them to do. But we have to tell them what that is. We have to give them boundaries, expectations, and that all goes with training.
Absolutely. We all, you know, function better with a few rules. If we didn't have stop signs and traffic lights out there, you know, how would we all be, you know, working in society?
Right.
So, you know, it's important that they know. I often think of sit as please. You know, it's a kind of a way they're doing something to please us. And, you know, it just kind of gets them focused and out of trouble. And I have so many friends with tiny dogs who say, well, you know, what does a tiny dog need to get trained for? If he does something wrong, I can pick him up. Well, have you ever tried to run down a chihuahua? You know, you can't.
But that is exactly. Yeah, and that's exactly why little dogs get overlooked with training, because they're physically, they can just be picked up, and they lose out a lot when they don't get training. And I also emphasize that training has to be done with positive techniques, Denise. You know, the alpha concept has been really disproven. It's a myth. I refer to Temple Grandin's work in Animals Make Us Human, and she refers to, in her book, Dr. David Meck's work, who was a scientist who studied wolves for 13 years in Ellesmere Island in Canada, and he determined that wolves in the wild do not live in packs. They live in families. There is no alpha dog or alpha wolf that defends the pack. There's no pack. They're family groups, father, mother, son, brothers, you know. And so what Temple Grandin deducts is that based on this research, because dogs are descendants of the wolf, what dogs need is not an alpha leader, but a parent. And that really is largely the fundamental philosophy of my book and how I address pet parenting.
I love that, because pets, like I keep saying, are part of the family, yet there are different species we're bringing into our family, so we need to teach them to live in our world, and we need to tune into them, but they do need that parent. I mean, basically, when we've brought a dog or cat into our life, we've got a furry toddler for life, you know, who isn't going to grow up and get a job, and we need to protect them, make sure their environment is safe, but make sure that they can function in a way that's uniquely to their species. I mean, we certainly don't want them living their life in a cage. We want them to be able to roam in our safely fenced yards or walk on a leash with us and, you know, abide by manners so that they're a welcome member of the family and also when company comes over. So you're talking about training couldn't be more on point, because when we don't take that time, it's, you know, I'm sure it happens the same with a human child. If we don't take the time to teach it his manners, boy, look at that. I said it to a human child. So you can tell I don't have human kids. where I would always do he or she, like you mentioned with the dog. I apologize to our humans out there. But, you know, but it goes all around. And we feel more comfortable. I'm sure a dog feels more comfortable knowing what he should and can't get away with. That doesn't mean they're not going to always try to push the envelope and, you know, do something fun or that's beneficial to them. But we all just get along better. And, you know, from my point, we keep them safe. They don't, you know, get injured or hit by a car or consume poison if we've taught them to leave it or stay or something along those lines. So in the last few minutes,
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in the last few minutes we have here, I wanted you to tell me a little bit more about the preparation for the show coming back and, you know, where you anticipate people can watch it. And then, of course, I want everybody to know where they can get this fabulous book.
Okay, thank you. Well, actually, there is a pilot for a TV show on my website and a promo that we put together. We just haven't taken it any further because started writing the book. So the show is looking for sponsorship for the show is sort of on hold right now as we've been writing and promoting the book. But hopefully they'll marry each other again and we will have both active. But there is a pilot, a 10-minute pilot show on my website. Also, information about how to purchase the book. The book is available through Amazon. It's available through iTunes, Kindle, and IndieBooks, and all the links are directly, you can access the links to any one of those sources to purchase the book right from my website on my homepage. And again, that's jazzandjive.com, and they'll bring you right to the homepage. And we have a lot of video on our website. We have a video of a book trailer, a lot of video that you can see Jazz and Jive in action. And appreciate part of and see our relationship, because I think a pet-parent relationship is really where the gratitude and the satisfaction is mutual for the dog and the human pet parent.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Donna, it was a delight having you. I hope everybody out there checks out your website and sees some of this video, the trailer, the pilot, and do buy the book. I'm so excited. I know the book is on its way to me, so I'm going to read it in its entirety. And in, I guess, about 3 weeks, you're going to be back with me on the Pet Safety Crusader radio show, which follows Smart Animal Talk Radio. And we're going to dive deeply into it a bit more, sharing all of your pearls of wisdom. Thanks for being here, Donna.
It's been so fun. It's been so fun spending time with you, Denise. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and we'll take a quick break and be back with Kit DeRoche.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that.
And you're back listening to Smart Animal Talk Radio. This is Denise Fleck filling in for Deborah Wolf today. And I am lucky enough to have next talking with me, Kit LaRoche of the Florida Yorkie Rescue. And I know we're going to actually start off playing off something my previous guest, Donna Ciccone, was talking about, adopting an identical dog. Kit, do you want to take it away?
Sure. I really enjoyed what she had to say. And she made many important points that we in our rescue run into frequently. And one thing that she said that really hit home was that a lot of people who have lost a dog are looking for an identical dog to adopt. And it's always heartbreaking for me to hear, because I always get people to contact us in regards to adopting a dog. And they're very persistent about one specific dog that we have because it looks just like Fluffy or Sam or Max or Joe. And they overlook all the others because they want an identical dog. And I really don't think that's the way to go about adopting a rescue. So it always sort of makes me sad to hear that people are always looking for identicals.
You're so right. You have to give each animal a chance. I think I've chatted with you a little bit about, but I've written a children's book series called Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover. And it translates to humans as well, but it talks about not judging a dog by his fur color, by his age, by his breed, by where he happens to be, but really getting to know that treasure inside. And that's what it's about. We need to get to know that unique individual furry creature.
Well, Denise, you know, it's interesting. We must have some kind of psychic connection today, because I was on your website, sunnydoginc.com, today, and I was reviewing some of the accomplishments you've made in your lifetime, and there have been plenty. And I came upon the books that you have written, and one was called Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover.
And, I couldn't have paid you better for that plug now, could I?
No, and you didn't know I was going to bring this up, but I really feel impressed upon to do it today because it resonates so much with our rescue. And if you'll just allow me to read this little excerpt that you have on your website, it says, Mary Alice and her friends like pretty clothes and hanging in with the in crowd, but when she requested a puppy for her birthday, her parents wisely decided that the fluffy one with the pink bow in the pet store may not be the best choice. So instead, Mary Alice ended up at the local animal shelter, where she not only saved the life of a loving older dog, but learned that once you look beyond the plain cover of things, you can be treated to the true joy that lies underneath. Looking beyond the cover is truly canine, in that dogs do not judge others based on their income, beauty, or status. And I love that, because children have to learn right from the get-go they have to be brought up and taught that exactly what this book teaches is that we cannot judge a book by its cover. And it's not only with people, but it's with dogs. And that that dogs that are in a rescue or in an animal shelter need a second chance. And I know that the puppies with the pink bows are so attractive and tempting, but people have to realize where they came from.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people don't understand puppy mills and the whole thing. That's one topic I definitely introduce my high school animal care students to. And I will put out there, it was in 2008, but Oprah Winfrey did do an excellent episode. It took a while, but she did it on puppy mills, and I think it's really opened a lot of people's eyes. So I wish somehow it would be replayed or people will look it up on YouTube and find out the real dirty truth, actually, behind that industry. And instead of, you know, taking dogs and cats and feeding them out just like we do other farm animals, which isn't right either. That's a topic for a whole nother conversation.
Yeah,
but really taking time to rescue and adopt an animal. And, you know, sometimes the oddest collection as far as the look of a dog or a cat can be some of the most adorable pets with the amazing personalities. So, you know, it's just like with humans. Sometimes they try to make up for the outside by having amazing personalities and, you know, just bringing so much love. And you just can't overlook them, whether they're older or a specific breed or have three legs or one eye. And that's like you said. Dogs don't judge. They don't care if their pal only has three legs or, you know, has a patch of fur missing. They really just, you know, go to the being and enjoy and embrace
and
them.
It's an unconditional love fest. You know, they don't, that you're right, they don't judge. And with Florida Yorkie Rescue, which I've been the founder and president for 10 years of this rescue group here in Florida, we have we're continually hitting a wall with people who are surrendering elderly, senior pets for a whole host of different reasons, none of which really make too much sense to me. And they are really put on the floor in a shelter for adoption because of their age. And people pass them by all the time. And we have so many seniors that are so grateful to have been saved and rescued and have so many more years left. And they are such grateful animals. And today, when I was reading your website, I saw your second book. I know this sounds like a commercial for you, but I promise. I'm just so drawn to these books. The second one was Start Off on the Right Paw. And it really got me because this one said Mary Alice's best friend Claire decides to adopt a sister for her pit bull Rex. So the girls pay a visit to the local animal shelter. There they meet Bonsai, a Japanese Akita, very much in need of a forever home. For 6 long months, people have passed her by misjudging her to be too old, too big, or too something. And I get really emotional because people don't realize the quality that these older dogs can provide for people who will just be compassionate enough to adopt them.
You are just so right. I actually have a soft spot for the seniors, so that's why I've written quite a few books about them. And I will say, from the line you pulled from the book about Bonsai being at the shelter for 6 months, that came to illustrate a point. But also, I am very lucky that my local animal shelter, although it's not a no-kill, it's very low-kill, and they really do their doggone best to adopt every animal out. And we have had some dogs at the Burbank Animal Shelter for a year. And although that isn't the best situation, we'd rather have them in a home. Through publicity and TV appearances and special adoption days, we do really try to give them a chance. But in many parts of the country, And in many animal shelters, they would never even get that 6 months of a chance to be adopted. You know, in some places, in 5 days, if they don't have somebody interested in them, they're euthanized. And these are dogs you can kind of think of as your, you know, your grandparents in a way, somebody who's brought so much joy to a family. And now suddenly, because they're older, sometimes people think they've outlived, you know, their purpose or their usefulness. Older dogs, what you see is what you get, they often say. You know, they're not going to grow into their personality. They've already got it there. They've generally know some training. They're generally calmer, so we may not have to walk and run around and get up during the night with them. Sure, sometimes they may have some health issues, but it's just such an amazing feeling to me, and now you're going to get me emotional, but to give back to an animal who has given so much. So, Kit, I think we're going to take a quick break on that so you and I can go get a Kleenex, and we'll be back in a few minutes to talk some more.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
you know
I really you do.
I really do.
You're back listening to Smart Animal Talk Radio. This is Denise Fleck filling in for Deborah Wolf today, and I am lucky enough to have next talking with me Kit LaRoche of the Florida Yorkie Rescue. And I know we're going to actually start off playing off something my previous guest, Donna Ciccone, was talking about, adopting an identical dog. Kit, do you want to take it away?
Sure. I really enjoyed what she had to say, and she made many important points that we in our rescue run into frequently. And one thing that she said that really hit home was that a lot of people who have lost a dog are looking for an identical dog to adopt. And it's always heartbreaking for me to hear, because I always get people to contact us in regards to adopting a dog. And they're very persistent about one specific dog that we have because it looks just like Fluffy or Sam or Max or Joe. And they overlook all the others because they want an identical dog. And I really don't think that's the way to go about adopting a rescue. So it always sort of makes me sad to hear that people are always looking for identicals.
You're so right. You have to give each animal a chance. I think I've chatted with you a little bit about, but I've written a children's book series called Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover. And it translates to humans as well, but it talks about not judging a dog by his fur color, by his age, by his breed, by where he happens to be, but really getting to know that treasure inside. And that's what it's about. We need to get to know that unique individual furry creature.
Well, Denise, you know, it's interesting. We must have some kind of psychic connection today, because I was on your website, sunnydoginc.com, today, and I was reviewing some of the accomplishments you've made in your lifetime, and there have been plenty. And I came upon the books that you have written, and one was called Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover.
And, I couldn't have paid you better for that plug now, could I?
No, and you didn't know I was going to bring this up, but I really feel impressed upon to do it today because it resonates so much with our rescue. And if you'll just allow me to read this little excerpt that you have on your website, it says, Mary Alice and her friends like pretty clothes and hanging in with the in crowd, but when she requested a puppy for her birthday, her parents wisely decided that the fluffy one with the pink bow in the pet store may not be the best choice. So instead, Mary Alice ended up at the local animal shelter, where she not only saved the life of a loving older dog, but learned that once you look beyond the plain cover of things, you can be treated to the true joy that lies underneath. looking beyond the cover is truly canine in that dogs do not judge others based on their income, beauty, or status. And I love that because this is, children have to learn right from the get-go. They have to be brought up and taught that exactly what this book teaches is that we cannot judge a book by its cover. And it's not only with people, but it's with dogs. And that that dogs that are in a rescue or in an animal shelter need a second chance. And I know that the puppies with the pink bows are so attractive and tempting, but people have to realize where they came from.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people don't understand puppy mills and the whole thing. That's one topic I definitely introduce my high school animal care students to. And I will put out there, it was in 2008, but Oprah Winfrey did do an excellent episode. It took a while, but she did it on puppy mills. And I think it's really opened a lot of people's eyes. So I wish somehow it would be replayed or people will look it up on YouTube and find out the real dirty truth, actually, behind that industry. And instead of, you know, taking dogs and cats and feeding them out just like we do other farm animals, which isn't right either. That's a topic for a whole nother conversation.
Yeah,
but really taking time to rescue and adopt an animal. And, you know, sometimes the oddest collection as far as the look of a dog or a cat can be some of the most adorable pets with the amazing personalities. So, you know, it's just like with humans. Sometimes they try to make up for the outside by having amazing personalities and, you know, just bringing so much love. And you just can't overlook them, whether they're older or a specific breed or have three legs or one eye. And that's like you said. Dogs don't judge. They don't care if their pal only has three legs or, you know, has a patch of fur missing. They really just, you know, go to the being and enjoy and embrace
them. It's an unconditional love fest. You know, they don't, you're right, they don't judge. And with Florida Yorkie Rescue, which I've been the founder and president for 10 years of this rescue group here in Florida, we have continually hitting a wall with people who are surrendering elderly senior pets for a whole host of different reasons, none of which really make too much sense to me. And they are really put on the floor in a shelter for adoption because of their age. And people pass them by all the time. And we have so many seniors that are so grateful to have been saved and rescued and have so many more years left. And they are such grateful animals. And today, when I was reading your website, I saw your second book. I know this sounds like a commercial for you, but I promise. I'm just so drawn to these books. The second one was Start Off on the Right Paw. And it really got me because this one said Mary Alice's best friend Claire decides to adopt a sister for her pit bull Rex. So the girls pay a visit to the local animal shelter. There they meet Bonsai, a Japanese Akita, very much in need of a forever home. For 6 long months, people have passed her by misjudging her to be too old, too big, or too something. And I get really emotional because people don't realize the quality that these older dogs can provide for people who will just be compassionate enough to adopt them.
You are just so right. I actually have a soft spot for the seniors, so that's why I've written quite a few books about them. And I will say from the line you pulled from the book about Bonsai being at the shelter for 6 months, that came to illustrate a point. But also, I am very lucky that my local animal shelter, although it's not a no-kill, it's very low-kill, and they really do their doggone best to adopt every animal out. And we have had some dogs at the Burbank Animal Shelter for a year. And although that isn't the best situation, we'd rather have them in a home. Through publicity and TV appearances and special adoption days, we do really try to give them a chance. But in many parts of the country, And in many animal shelters, they would never even get that 6 months of a chance to be adopted. You know, in some places, in 5 days, if they don't have somebody interested in them, they're euthanized. And these are dogs you can kind of think of as your, you know, your grandparents in a way, somebody who's brought so much joy to a family. And now suddenly, because they're older, sometimes people think they've outlived, you know, their purpose or their usefulness. Older dogs, what you see is what you get, they often say. You know, they're not going to grow into their personality. They've already got it there. They've generally know some training. They're generally calmer, so we may not have to walk and run around and get up during the night with them. Sure, sometimes they may have some health issues, but it's just such an amazing feeling to me, and now you're going to get me emotional, but to give back to an animal who has given so much. So, Kit, I think we're going to take a quick break on that so you and I can both get a Kleenex, and we'll be back in a few minutes to talk some more.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that,
you know
I really do,
I really do.
Smart Animal Talk. This is Denise Fleck filling in today for Deborah Wolf, and I've been chatting with Kat DeRoche. Kit DeRoche. Now I just messed that up. We were talking about the name.
That's so funny.
With Kit DeRoche, who is my new best friend, and hopefully she'll stay that after I mispronounce her name.
That's okay.
And we were chatting about senior pets, so I certainly want to get in about Florida Yorkie Rescue and Yorkie House. So tell us a bit about that, Kit.
Well, Florida Yorkie Rescue has been in existence for 10 years, and over the years, especially recently, we have noticed more and more senior dogs being dumped at local animal shelters or just dumped in the streets. I don't understand why. I think it's just a disposable society we have now, and when they deem their pet is no longer useful, they just want to remove it from their home. So over the past 2 or 3 years, we have seen this growing at an alarming rate, and we decided that what we needed to do was create the first Yorkie senior sanctuary in the state of Florida. So we are working now on creating Yorkie House, which once it's up and running, we can then provide safe housing for these dogs. We will keep them until they cross the Rainbow Bridge or unless we can find someone who will adopt them. And we will provide medical care and whatever else they need to live a pain-free and healthy and happy life.
How amazing. And that's going to take, you know, some good volunteer work and also the help from some kind souls who can donate supplies and the money needed for this. So everybody,
exactly.
Please, Kit, give them the website where they can check
out. Our main website is FloridaYorkieRescue.org, and our sanctuary website is YorkieHouse.org. And they can read up about our main nonprofit, and they can read up about our senior sanctuary and what's required. We are hoping to build it in Martin County, Florida. And, yes, we need help. So anyone out there who thinks that this might be something they'd like to attach their wagon to, we welcome you.
Well, four paws up for senior pets and for the people who really help them, you know, live golden years to the fullest.
Yeah.
Now, Kit, I know there's something else maybe Kit wants to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, about.
No pun intended, right?
No.
Well, we are developing a brand new radio show, and of which you will be a big part of, Denise, and it will be called The Wild and Wacky Pet Show. And we are going to have many different guests with many different expertise that they can share with the public. And it will be a call-in show, and it will be funny, and we'll have comedians, and we'll have people that have a whole host of talents that they can share with the public. And I think it's going to be very entertaining, don't you?
I sure do, but I'm just wondering if the Wild and Wacky is the hosts or the animals we're going to be talking about.
I don't know. Do you want to be the wild or do you want to be the wacky? No, wild and crazy. So,
what did I say?
Wild and wacky?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
But that's awesome that, you know, people are going to be able to, you know, really tell us, you know, give us those probing questions that we're going to have to put our thinking caps on and give them the answers to, hopefully in a fun and entertaining way. But, you know, it's great to be able to hear from the pet parents out there and other people that work with animals and what it is they need to know or have inquiring minds about.
And I there's a lot of people that have very specific problems with their pets, and they don't know who to turn to. And even with Yorkies, I hear people call all the time and say, what can I do with this behavior problem? And I don't have an answer. I'm not a dog trainer. And sometimes they hire dog trainers, and they're still hitting a wall. So I think, you know, it would be great if we could have a dog whisperer on the show that can actually share more of an in-depth answer that might make sense to some pet owners and help solve their problems.
Well, you've mentioned something very interesting in that you were even saying, like, you know, sometimes it doesn't work with the trainer or whomever, but just like with every walk of life, whether we're picking a veterinarian or whom, you have to find the one that is rightly tuned to your particular pet. There can be, you know, five different trainers that have gotten excellent results, but one is going to work better for you and your dog. So you need to do your research, because most of the time trainers are really training us, because we're the ones with the dogs 24/7. They see them once a week or so. And we need to find one that we've just got the right rapport and that we can mesh with. And the other thing that made me think about this is when you talked about different pet experts, is often when one of us is in some line of business in the animal field, whether we rescue or whether we teach or whether we train or whether we groom, whatever it happens to be, once you're an animal something, people often think you're an animal everything, and you know, you have the answers.
You're right.
You know, they think you have the answers to all of their medical or behavioral or other animal problems. So it's really cool that the Wild and Crazy Pet Show is going to have a variety of hosts on there, so that hopefully one of them will have the right answer or can get the right answer for anybody's question.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very popular and successful show, and I think that it'll be a lot of fun to do, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, and fun is what it's all about, because our animals provide us endless entertainment. And when we're talking about stuff, you know, about our animals, sometimes it isn't always the most fun topic. I mean, here I am spending a huge part of my life teaching pet first aid and CPR. What can be less fun than talking about medical emergencies? But it's an important thing. It's a responsibility every pet parent should know. And hopefully over the years, I've come up with a few ways to make it a little bit more fun and interesting. So, you know, it's all about us just dedicating ourselves to helping our animals live longer, happier, healthier, more fun lives with us.
And we all do what we can. So, you know, you write books, you teach first aid, I do rescue, someone else may be a dog trainer, someone else, you know, everyone has their own expertise where they find where their passion lies. And so, you know, you put all those people together and you've got a very successful group. And I know that you'll be doing a countrywide tour coming up soon to teach first aid classes and let people know how they can provide emergency care for their pets. We, our group is specifically looking forward to seeing you sometime later in the year, and we couldn't be more thrilled with having our own class here with our volunteers and board members for Florida Yorkie Rescue.
Well, I'm going to be wagging my tail when I get down there in Florida. Because yes, I'm going across the whole South. I've got 18 cities setting up events for me, whether it's pet first aid, pet disaster preparedness, or teaching children to be safer and teaching them animal care as well as reading my books. So I'm going to be very excited to do that and meet you face to face.
What states are you going in, Denise?
Well, let me tell you the cities because that's the way I've got it memorized.
Okay.
Phoenix, Houston, New Orleans, Mobile, Panama City, Florida, Orlando, Florida, Jupiter, Florida, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I am going to be somewhere in Virginia. I'm not sure of the city yet. I'm going to be in Baltimore and La Plata, Maryland, over into Nashville, Atlanta, Perry, Georgia, and Camden, Arkansas, and probably finishing up in Dallas, Texas, unless I make another stop before I get back to California. But who knows? I may be, you know, I may just end up in Roswell for a while and, you know,
eat up. That's funny. Well, if someone's listening and they're interested in being a pit stop on your tour, how would they contact you?
They can contact Denise at sunnydoginc.com, and I'll be happy to see what we can do to squeeze them in, because the more people I can help in one concerted effort, the more animals that, you know, will be helped in the long run. So I'm so excited about the tour. I'm excited about the Wild and Crazy Pet Show, being on board with you for that, Kit, and some others. And I just thank you so much for chatting it up with me about Yorkies, about senior pets. Gosh, even giving me a few plugs for my books today.
Well, I think it was a good thing, because I'm going to order those books.
Well, thank you. And then we both enjoyed, as I hope all of our listening audience did, talking with Donna Ciccone today about being a super pet parent. So look for her book on Amazon and do check out her website, jazzandjive.com. Donna will be on again with me on Pet Safety Crusader Radio, which follows this show, in about 3 weeks. So we're going to delve into her book more, but there's just a wealth of information in there about helping us to really foster a long, loving relationship with our dog. And I'm sure a lot of that can, you know, translate to our cat friends as well. Dogs and cats are different species, and we don't want to think of them alike because they are different. But as far as being a pet parent, or I should say a better pet parent, it goes for all of them. And whether you have a finned, a feathered, a scaled, baby at home, we want to learn about that unique individual, but learn what is best for him and do our best to, you know, make their life joyful and to make ours more joyful by spending time with them.
Absolutely. And I'll be listening to that show, because I really, really enjoyed what Donna had to say. She was a very interesting guest, and I will be checking out her book too.
Wonderful. Well, thanks again, Kit, and please check out FloridaYorkieRescue.org, correct?
Yes, and YorkieHouse.org.
Wonderful. So please do that, everyone. And next week, you will probably be back here on Smart Animal Talk Radio with Deborah Wolf. I'm Denise Fleck, the Pet Safety Crusader, and I hope you'll also check me out on Pet Safety Crusader Radio. Have a bow-wow wonderful day, and hug those animals.
And anytime you're